Woo, woo, woo.
You know it.
What? What?
Just like this microphone in the hands of any of the boys in the back. It's just a microphone. You put it in the hands of a dangerous man like myself, and it becomes a pipe bomb.
Shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
This is what a champion looks like.
Oh, yeah!
Hashtag heel.
Greetings and welcome to Hashtag Heel. I am the bafflingly brilliant Joe Convoy. Or is that just brilliantly baffling? Along here with my, I don't know, I hesitate to call him sidekick. I can't think of anything better, so here's my sidekick, Randy.
Watashi wa Randy! Watashi wa Randy!
But yeah, we got a big, big show tonight. We have a 3-hour Raw to talk about, and of course, TNA Slammiversary, as well as the rest of our usual wrestling news and views.
That indeed we do.
But let's get things started off as always. Monday Night Raw. We had a big night. It was Big Johnny's chance on the chopping block to possibly be fired by Mr. McMahon himself. And that's how we started off the night, with Big Johnny and Mr. McMahon in the ring. You know, Vince giving Big Johnny a bit of a scare, and I really got to stop calling him Big Johnny. Should I just call him Mr. Excitement? Johnny Ace, I don't know. But, talking about his people power and all that. Oh, one thing that was awesome that Vince talked about in this opening segment is he used the terms that Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, hired the wrong one-legged wrestler. Very, very hilarious dig at one Zach, in the words of Matt Hardy, version 1, Zach the Novelty Act Gowan, which I always have to bring that quote up anytime I speak of Zach Gowan, because I do believe that Vince was right. You know, as much as, you know, John Laurinaitis, Big Johnny, does deliver with the excitement week after week, like I know he has.
People and power.
People power, that's right. As much as he's delivered on it, I got to admit, he did hire the wrong one-legged wrestler, because Zach Gowan was awful.
That was during the dark period of WWE, sort of right after the Attitude Era ended. They were really struggling to find their way for a few years. But yes,
WWE has stopped struggling? What?
Somewhere around this point, we get Sheamus coming out. And of
course, yeah. It's the great white fella.
And with this lovely pay-per-view right around the corner and No Way Out, well, Sheamus doesn't have an opponent anymore. Because, as was seen on Friday, during the match of Alberto Del Rio versus the great Khali, Alberto Del Rio unfortunately suffered a concussion. So he will not be medically cleared to compete at No Way Out. So, of course, Vince says, you know, this is one of your tests tonight, Johnny.
Which, can I say one thing? That I think that is a tragedy that we are robbed of another brilliant Alberto Del Rio match. I mean, the man's one of the best workers and one of the best heels, mind you, on the entire roster. And
oh, yeah, he's fine.
By default, being one of the best heels automatically makes him one of the best on the roster automatically.
Right. Unfortunately, with his latest injury, he's almost turning himself into Mr. Kennedy, and not in a good way. He's gotten very injury-prone the last year or so, and too many injuries could hurt him down the road.
Yeah, you know, it could help him. Or sorry, it could hurt him down the road. But now, you know, you said that he was a lot like Mr. Kennedy. Here's the big difference with that. Del Rio is talented.
Talent levels aside, I was mainly making the observation as a comparison, because at the end of Kennedy's run, obviously, he suffered a lot of injuries too, which part of the reason why he had to forfeit the Money in the Bank contract at that point. You know, when they had the storyline where he dropped the Money in the Bank to Edge, and just the constant injuries did not help Kennedy's case at that point, and they definitely will not help Del Rio at this point either. But so, as part of Big Johnny's test tonight in Vince's evaluation of him running SmackDown, he's told he has to find a new number one contender for the World Heavyweight title. Now, after this point, we actually get one of the funniest moments of the night, wherein Vince McMahon gets on Johnny's little hover-around scooter, you know, he's riding around a little bit, and he actually dumps it off the stage. And pretty much, it is pretty much just sitting there the whole night, and we will definitely be seeing a lot more of that. And, of course, since Sheamus is in the ring, this that actually transitions us into our first match of the night, in that Sheamus takes on Tensai. Alright, so we get the introductions. And, of course, Sakamoto makes his way out to the ring. And, hey, what do you know? Sakamoto gets an unexpected push again as Tensai shoves him out of the way on his way to the ring. And, of course, this match pretty much, it's your standard Tensai Sheamus deal. They, you know, they go back and forth a while, and it ends up with Sheamus gaining the win.
All I have to say is sorry there, but I got an important phone call, and that important phone call was to inform me that, yes, indeed, the TNA WWE lawsuit is still on. My sources are on this, and I will bring you information as I get it. This was late-breaking news that indeed has not been dropped. I know there was no rumors that it was possibly going to be dropped, but just thought that, you know, I'd like to get that out there, that I'd inform people of these things. Because, like I said, I'm brilliantly baffling or bafflingly brilliant. You don't know these things with me.
Yes, folks, and that's why I'm here, so I can carry Joe's ass and keep this show going.
Well, you know, I keep my fingers on the pulse of the wrestling world. That's what I do. That's why I'm Joe Convoy.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah. let's move on to the next bit of Raw tonight.
But yes, match ends. We go to commercial, and then we come back from the commercial, and Tensai just beats the crap out of Sakamoto. So
yeah.
Pretty much they're done at this point.
Yeah, just all the Tensai did was spent most of it just hitting Sakamoto and yelling at him in Japanese.
Yeah.
Very basic Japanese, but Japanese nonetheless.
And we get a backstage thing. Vince is watching the show backstage with Laurinaitis, and basically just goes, "That's strike one." So already he's off to a riveting start onto his evaluation. And, of course, they continue discussing the idea of the world title match. And Johnny, you know, obviously not having an idea, turns his head and goes, "So, what would you do?" You know, Tate's like, "Well, we do have four former world champions in the building tonight. In Great Khali, Tristan."
Technically five, but we'll get to that later.
But yes, we have the Great Khali, Chris Dunn, Dolph Ziggler, and Jack Swagger. And what I would do is book them in a fatal four-way match, and with the winner getting the title shot.
Now, and yes, those who are watching did hear it correctly. Teddy Long did say Kristen and not Christian, which, you know, is why I think he needs to be under the guise of Big Johnny, Mr. Laurinaitis, you know, because he keeps making mistakes like that. You know, I haven't heard somebody make a mistake like that, you know, since Mike Adamley was around. I mean, how do we even deal with, you know, Teddy? How do we even deal with him as SmackDown GM for so many years?
But really, it's still better than Adam Lee. I mean, that's just
okay, I will admit
a bit
that.
Of a it's just a mispronunciation, just sort of based on Teddy Long's weird accent. I mean, it's not like he, you know, yeah. Jeff Harvey.
Yes, it's true. I kid because I love. Really, that's what I do.
Oh, yeah, so of course, Big Johnny likes the Indians, like. Hey, that's exactly what I was thinking. Now, Teddy, go get me a cup of coffee.
To which Vince does not look pleased at that, but, you know.
And then Big Johnny just sort of, you know, reaches out to Vince and is like, "Bro fist?"
To which Vince looks, "No. No fist."
No. Vince McMahon does not approve. But yes,
by the way, 10 imaginary points to anyone who can produce a picture of that captioned, "Bro fist?" No fist. 10 imaginary points.
Yes, you win. You'll win one free internet. All right, so next we have R-Truth talking with Matt Stryker. Truth is just, you know, doing his weird, crazy thing, talking to little Jimmy, and then boom! Oh, Big Show punches him. He's out. That's pretty much what happens at that point. But we'll, and more will come of that later. Next, we get our second match of the night. It is a mixed tag team match featuring United States champion Santino Marella and the Divas champion Layla taking on the team of Beth Phoenix and Ricardo Rodriguez. Oh, this is definitely one of the odder bookings. The Santino-Ricardo parts were pretty much the comedy you would expect them to be. But the Layla and Beth Phoenix parts were actually a pretty good Divas match. Probably the best we've seen out of the Divas in a while, you know, without having to watch NXT or Superstars.
Though I will have to say, like usual, the heel half of this match definitely was better.
Yeah, Rodriguez is definitely funny, very entertaining.
Now, when Rodriguez came out, did they, because I'll admit, I missed his entrance. I actually missed most of the match. But did Rodriguez come out with the way he did back in the Royal Rumble when he competed? To like in like a really beater car instead of how
no,
Del Rio comes out?
Actually, I wish that had happened. That
okay,
would be funny.
Because...
Actually, he came out basically kicking and screaming. Beth Phoenix drug him out to the ring.
Aww.
Basically, he didn't want to be in this match. The Santino-Rodriguez part, which is sort of Rodriguez running away in fear of the Cobra, he actually runs into one of the ring posts and knocks himself out. The match actually was decided between Beth and Layla. Beth hit the glam slam for the 1-2-3 pinfall on Layla. Now, after this match, there was a lot more comedy. Ricardo's jumping around. He's like, yeah, I won. Yeah, take that, Santino. At that point, Santino rips his shirt off like he's and he's like goes to give him a cobra, but Ricardo Rodriguez was wearing a Justin Bieber T-shirt under his dress shirt.
Oh, poor Ricardo! Always got to be embarrassed like this. I mean, come on! I mean, the Justin Bieber shirt that's I believe there are laws against cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, seriously, people, come on.
Yes. And then we go backstage, and now David Otunga, he's with Vince McMahon, and he's pretty much trying to kiss his butt and trying to get the GM job so that Laurinaitis be fired. And Vince is like, I don't like lawyers. I don't like kiss butts. I don't like you.
Basically, wait. I might have missed that. Did he actually say kiss butts?
Well, he phrased it another way. I don't even know why I censored myself there, but whatever.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, wow. I know WWE is PG, but damn.
But, yeah. But after this goes on for a little bit, Kofi Kingston comes in. He's looking for Big Johnny. He wants the Big Show. He's like, Ace comes in. He's like, okay, that's great. You know, it's like one of those, okay, be careful what you wish for things. Because you've got the Big Show. You get him in the steel cage. And that will be a featured match later tonight. Alright, so next we've got Daniel Bryan hits the ring.
Yes, he does. He does indeed hit the ring.
Yes, and he has a microphone.
Which is always, you know, is always enjoyable.
Yes, he's running down Punk and Kane. He says they both have a weakness, that being AJ. You know, he's like, basically says Punk is basically jealous of him. I forget what he said about Kane.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was your typical Daniel Bryan promo, which is genuinely awesome.
And yes, and of course, he has his little Q&A session. He's like, so, this Sunday... Will I be the new WWE champion?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
And then we get Punk.
And that's
coming
your
out.
Weekly yes chant from me. But, and then, of course, you know, talk about AJ and this whole AJ Kane thing. It's, honestly the most entertaining thing on Raw right now, in my opinion. It is the one thing that I try never to miss, and I really hope this feud continues through SummerSlam.
Yes. Eventually, we get all of them in the ring. Yes.
CM Punk managed to get the term "goat face" to trend on Twitter.
Yes.
Which might be the first time that I think I've heard the term "goat face" uttered on WWE television. And you know what's funny is now I kind of want to see if there's ever a WWE movie to see Daniel Bryan, played by Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that simply because of, if you remember from SNL, Jim Brewer had the character of Goat Boy. Mm-hmm. And now all I can see is Goat Boy wearing a Daniel Bryan yes, yes, yes shirt.
No. See, WWE Movies is going to make a sequel to The Men Who Stare at Goats. And they're going to have Daniel Bryan star as the goat.
The men who stare at goat faces.
Yes. So Punk and Brian are going back and forth on the mic, and hey, look, it's Kane. And he comes out to talk about that his pipe bombs are actual pipe bombs. Because he does sick and demented things to people.
Now, I do have to say, Kane, I don't think you've actually used a pipe bomb before. Therefore, your statement of them being actual pipe bombs is indeed false.
Of course, this segment keeps going because AJ comes out to the ring. She just sort of sits there and does her psycho thing. And, you know, they kind of go back and forth a little more, and Big Johnny comes up and is like, hey, 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 you guys, over here, look at the screen, look at the screen. We're going to have a match tonight. Kane, Daniel Bryan, put your differences aside. Because you two are facing the tag team of CM Punk and AJ.
People power.
All right, so we go to a commercial.
Okay, and when we come back, Jerry Lawler is, you know, they're advertising their Domino's. And the King is sitting there ordering pretending like he's ordering a pizza. Now, what would have been really awesome.
They never showed the pizza being delivered.
Exactly. I wanted to see a pizza guy come down the ramp. And Jerry Lawler accept a pizza on live national television. That would have been awesome.
All right, so we get, the number one contenders match.
Christian versus Great Khali versus Dolph Ziggler versus Jack Swagger.
Yep.
And in the interest of keeping things going, as much as I hate to do it, I just want to sum up the match simply by saying Dolph wins. Hashtag heel.
Yeah, order of elimination, Khali first by all three guys, then Swagger, followed finally by Christian being eliminated with the zigzag. The Christian Ziggler portion at the end was actually really good, a lot of back and forth, a lot of false finishes.
Yeah.
I actually got into the match. These two can actually, they do deliver really good. This definitely ranked up as one of the best matches of the night.
Absolutely. And I did like how they had Dolph just swoop in there and get the pin on his own partner, Swagger, which really shows that they are going to have, I think, Dolph Ziggler turn on Vicky and Jack at the No Way Out pay-per-view, possibly, because maybe one of them costs him the match against Sheamus. Now,
yep.
And of course, which I think, personally, that would be a good thing so that Ziggler can dump the dead weight and finally cement himself as the man in WWE, finally getting a true world title run. And he ain't going to do it until he drops the dead weight known as Vicky and Jack.
Definitely. And from things that were perfection to things that make you go, what the hell? we get a backstage segment, and Vince is just walking down the hallway, and he runs into Natalya. I think she mentioned something about him losing to Brett at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because that's what Vince likes to be reminded about.
He just sort of walks off at that point. He's like, yeah, whatever. Vince McMahon is not interested. No. And then he runs into the screechy Funkadactyls.
Oh, God.
And they are screeching like actual pterodactyls pretty much now.
Like, honestly, it makes me pine for the soothing voice of Vicky Guerrero.
Yes. And we get to...
Or the soft, subtle tones of Melina.
Folks, we get to see Vince McMahon dance. But I think the funny part was just the ending where it pans out to just to Zack Ryder. He's like... He's just standing there with his jaw open, like, wait, what did I just watch? Although...
And of course, next, after the break, we get Ryback.
Versus William Fillmore and Rutherford P.S. Hayes.
All I have to say is, kudos for the Michael Hayes reference. Fabulous Freebirds!
We somehow combined the Fabulous Freebirds with Dead Presidents.
It's awesome, but wasn't awesome is the fact that Ryberg is boring and just, I have no interest in him. Next match!
Yeah. Dud. Oh, more backstage weirdness. Now Vince McMahon is watching clips of what's-his-face getting humiliated by Hornswoggle. And his
Michael Cole.
JR imitation. Well, it's like, why do we have to be reminded of this? It's bad. Yes, Vince, we know. You hate JR. You've wanted to replace him for years. Now you're happy. I don't care.
Let's see.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. The Otunga part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he comes in.
Yes, oh, apparently we learned that Otunga is only a part-time lawyer. Really, because, you know, we always hear about all these brilliant cases being tried by one Mr. David Otunga.
Yes, and
wait, did I just take a dig at a heel? That's very uncharacteristic.
Yes, and, Otunga's trying to save face with McMahon. He's basically, yeah, I don't like men who would actually pucker up and kiss another man's behind. And there's just this slow pan to a couch. And sitting on the couch is William Regal. Hey,
would
yes.
have been perfect if he just turned at the camera and said, what?
He pretty much did. Regal just kind of looked at the camera and like just kind of shrugged one of those what looks. Yes, because everyone remembers the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club.
Which, you know, rumors that they were going to resurrect tonight, but due to Linda's current senatorial campaign, that would not be prudent to quote Dana Carey as President Bush in the old SNL sketches. Also, speaking of that, that may be the reason why our listeners have been wondering why there hasn't been a mass releasing yet this year, like WWE normally does after WrestleMania. And it's because
June.
WWE wants to be seen as a job creator, it's the big buzzword currently in politics, job creator. So
it's definitely going to last a while because Linda McMahon did make it out of the primary race, and she is the Republican candidate for the state of Connecticut.
So, you know, yeah, probably not going to have too many. It's probably going to be little let-goes here and there.
Yeah.
But next match we have the very long and very boring Kofi Kingston versus Big Show cage match.
And that's pretty bad when a steel cage match is boring.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything with the cage.
Yeah.
They didn't utilize the cage. It was sort of, to sum it up, Kofi gets the weapon of mass destruction. And Big Show takes a long, leisurely walk out of the stairs.
It was a leisurely stroll.
It was very leisurely. It's like, whatever, I'm the Big Show, I don't care, I got all the time in the world.
I was strolling through the park one day.
No.
Guarantee that's what he was thinking in his head, too.
And sadly, the next match in this 3-hour weird fest, it is actually one I actually cared to watch more than the cage match. Bachkara himself takes on Curt Hawkins.
Now, I will admit that good old botch face, for those of you who do not speak Spanish, I can refer to Bachkara in his English form, which of course would be botch face. Good old botch face has not been botching a lot lately, which is weird. I may have to stop calling him botch face.
I know.
And also the fact that he's wearing red now, which makes the 60s Spider-Man jokes even better.
Yeah. Ah, good old Bachkara.
But next match.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have to say next match. Yes, we come. Yeah. Heath Slater's in the ring.
It's Slater time, baby.
No, it is not Slater time.
Yes.
Because it's time. It's time. It's Vader time.
And yes, we got a
Keith Slater versus Big Van Vader.
Yes, we got a commercial earlier in the night. I think right before they went to the commercial before this, saying that a former Raw main eventer would be on the show tonight. And yes, turns out it's Vader.
It's Vader. Holy crap, it was Vader. Oh, you people don't understand. Like, if you were not around when Vader, you know, was in his prime, Vader was one of the best big men of all time. Back in WCW, he had amazing matches against likes of Ric Flair and all them, you know, and he was in WWE, which he was good in WWE. He was very impressive, but unfortunately, his impressive tenure was cut short when he met Shawn Michaels. And, you know, I know a lot of people like Shawn Michaels, but I'm sorry. I can't like him because of what he used to do back in the day, which was hold down amazing talent like Vader. And go back, watch some of Vader's matches. You know, this match was very reminiscent of most of it. You know, very well maneuvered and well done for such a big guy. Vader just pretty much squashed Heath Slater very quickly, under 5 minutes, hit the Vader bomb, which I believe, Randy, you said looked like someone stepping on a Twinkie.
That's pretty much what it looked like. I actually thought Heath Slater was just going to explode.
Yeah, and very nice "You Still Got It" chants from the crowd. This was a brilliant crowd all night, and that, you know, Vader to get the reaction he did was really nice to see, and I'm sure Vader really, really was touched at the reception he got. And, you know, in all seriousness, he's just one of the best big men of all time. And I believe he will be on the 1000th Raw. So we'll see Vader twice inside of a year, which would be great.
So what, about 5-6 weeks from now?
Yep. And, of course, as we mentioned last week, Vader's son, who goes by the name of Jake Carter, is one half of the FCW Tag Team Champions. So
yes. Now, it would be interesting to see if they actually keep going with this angle and having some different people coming out to each week to promote the 1000th Raw.
That would be nice.
That would definitely be nice.
Yeah, and starting it off with Vader, you know, and I think you joked and I joked. I thought they were going to do someone, you know, like the Brooklyn Brawler or Clown.
I definitely mentioned the Brawler.
But you never know.
He could still show up.
Vader, you know, I really recommend anyone go back, check out a Vader match, because he was awesome. Specifically his matches against Flair.
Yes, and speaking of the 1000th Raw coming up, rumor going back around backstage is that they're pretty much going to be treating this like a pay-per-view and trying to come up with a quality card for the night. So,
which is good. You know, it's nice to see them actually trying to make an effort.
Right, and that's part of why they're reaching out to a lot of former talent. You know, not the ones you see all the time when they have a nostalgia show, like Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Duggan. You know, this is why they're reaching out to guys like Vader. Yeah. You know, they're really trying to get some strong names to come in, promote the show.
Which makes me sad,
on the show.
Because if that's true, that they're trying to reach out to these lesser-used talents, if he was still alive, it really makes me think that they would have reached out to Randy Savage, which would have been really nice to see Randy Savage in a WWE ring after all those years.
Yes. Vince, we're still waiting. Where's Savage's Hall of Fame induction?
Yeah. But
granted, I think that can be more attributed to his family. I think the going rumor is that the family won't allow it to happen unless they induct their Savage, his brother, and their father.
Well, his father possibly.
His
brother's the only one I'm not sure about. At least not anytime soon. But
next
match was CM Punk and AJ versus Daniel Bryan and Kane, which was essentially amounted to a handicap match.
Yes.
I mean, it was decent. You know, everyone involved in the match is talented in their own right. Even AJ, who's a pretty good women's wrestler.
This match pretty much just cemented the psychoness of AJ.
Yes. The only real memorable thing of the match, other than, you know, it being your typical, you know, CM Punk Daniel Bryan fair, which being really good.
At one point she does get accidentally tagged into the match.
Yeah, and she proceeds to
She skips around Kane.
Slyly, you know, coyly slinking around Kane. And then just kind of jumps up and wraps her arm around his neck. And Kane just has this look on his face like, "Hi, can I help you?
I don't know what to do with a woman."
And then, and then she proceeds to make out with him.
Yeah. This is definitely one of the weirdest matches I've seen in a long time.
But it was good. I mean, it was a really good match.
And after that point, Kane just, like, you know, he tags in Daniel Bryan. He's like, I have no idea what's going on here. And he proceeds to leave. And shortly after that, we get an exchange of moves, and Punk gets the pin on Bryan. And pretty much everyone is standing around with an utterly confused look on their face, except AJ. She's just sitting in the middle of the ring.
Oh, no, I don't even think AJ knows what's going on, but I don't think that's...
But for a different reason.
Yeah, I think that's about par for the course at this point. Let's see.
And then we get the ending segment of the show,
which actually was really boring. And, it was just...
I was fighting to stay asleep during this segment. Or stay awake, I mean.
Yeah, I know what you meant. But yeah, I mean, all I can say, you know, hopefully, if Big Show wins, the new stipulation is if Big Show loses, Big Johnny, Mr. Excitement himself, will cease to be the GM of Raw and SmackDown. And that's something I'm prepared to see.
I simultaneously want John Cena to win and lose at the same time.
Yes, but we all know what it's going to be, especially since it's the main event. It's Cena wins, lol.
Yes.
Once again, whoop-de-de-doo, John Cena's gonna win.
The John Cena Championship.
Even if he loses, he's still the champion.
This is sort of a mixed Raw. It had its good, it had its suck. That's really all I can say about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for Raw. It started out kind of slow for like the first hour or so was pretty slow, and then
that's the thing with the 3 hour Raws. A lot of people forget that the first hour is actually there, the 8 o'clock hour. So, and I think WWE sort of acknowledges it by not doing a lot during the first hour.
But it was definitely great to see Vader again. But next up, we have TNA Slammiversary, the 10-year anniversary of TNA.
Yes.
9 years of awful, followed by 1 year of really good, which being the year 2005, when TNA was genuinely better than WWE.
Oh, yes. Yes, that which many people thought would never happen, happened. TNA turned 10. Who would have thunk it? Alright, so...
Not in my worst nightmares.
But there was actually a lot of good things on this show. The crowd itself was actually pretty hot throughout the night, so it definitely helped provide a good feel to the matches that happened. The show did not take place in the Impact Zone. It actually took place somewhere at the University of Texas in Arlington. So the show opens up with Hulk Hogan coming out, you know, gets the pop, you know, welcomes everyone to Slammiversary, you know, 10 years TNA, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's like, you know, Hogan's like, all right, so I'm going to make some changes here. You know, I like to push people's buttons. And he says, you know, the first thing that's happening tonight is I'm making a change to our very first match, which the first match of the night is going to be Samoa Joe taking out Austin Aries. But he makes a change in the match. The match is now for the X Division Championship. Now, when TNA first started, there were no weight limits and rules like that in the X Division. Maybe about a year and a half ago is when they actually put the 225-pound rule limit on the X Division, essentially making it a cruiserweight division. But pretty much Austin Aries has gone through everyone in the X Division roster, so they sort of do have to take that rule off for him to have any kind of competition. So that definitely helped add to the match. So being it's now a title match between Joe and Aries, this match was really good. This was definitely one of the best matches of the night. Aries and Joe are both two of my favorite wrestlers in general, and they really delivered for this match. The crowd was hot.
I'll definitely say, you know, I may be harsh on TNA at times, but I do agree that their X Division is really good. It is pretty much WCW Cruiserweight Division 2.0. It's worth watching, and I will definitely give it props for that.
Oh, yeah. And I always love it when they don't have the weight rule on the X Division, especially when you have guys like Samoa Joe. He is so fast, so agile. He can do so many things for a man his size. And it's just, this match came off amazing. And Aries was actually able to lift Samoa Joe up and hit the Brainbuster for the win.
Yes, definitely quite impressive from Austin Aries. I really like Austin Aries, though. He's always been one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I even liked him when they had him doing that ridiculously stupid Austin Starr gimmick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back when they were, when Kevin Nash was giving everyone X Division gimmicks. I remember those days. All right, next we get a match that had no build-up whatsoever in Kid Cash versus Hernandez.
So pretty much par for the course with TNA.
This match was announced Thursday, which surprisingly it actually got announced. But yeah, I mean, neither of these two are horrible in the ring. It just says it was a standard match. It was not bad. Hernandez got the win. Really, not much to say about it. All right, next we move on to a tag team bout. The Robbies, Robbie E and Big Robbie T, taking on Garrett Bischoff and the television champion, Devon.
Or Devon, or however they pronounce it.
I mean, it didn't suck. Really, nothing on this show outright sucked. Oh, Devon and Bischoff won, okay. That's right, there was a...
I will say there was a very good match between Jeff Hardy, Mr. Anderson, and Rob Van Dam.
Yes. They had
and
their triple threat match.
I will say that it's definitely very good, but then again, I always enjoy watching Rob Van Dam. Rob Van Dam is probably one of my all-time favorite wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days, we'll actually get to our you know, when we talk about our all-time favorite wrestlers, and, you know, I can say Rob Van Dam will definitely be on that list and very, very high up on that list for me.
But yeah, Jeff Hardy has actually improved a lot too, ever since the incident about a year ago now. He's definitely gotten himself a lot more clean, and his ring work has actually improved a lot. I mean, you can pretty much tell by Jeff Hardy's ring work when he's on drugs and when he isn't. And right now, he's stayed pretty clean since the whole the whole thing that happened last year and his suspension and whatnot. Honestly, pretty good performance out of all three of these guys in this match. Mr. Anderson does get the win, which means he will be facing the winner of the world title match this Thursday on Impact. All right, and next we get Jeremy Borash is backstage with Crimson. He's reminding us of his little open challenge that he threw out here. Crimson, who is the owner of the worst undefeated gimmick in pro wrestling history. I have never seen a man be undefeated for 470 whatever days it was and hold so many losses. You know, he's lost tag team matches, battle royals, triple threat matches, fatal four ways. If you can name a match type, he's technically lost it, but he was just never the person, you know, pinned or who tapped or whatever. But, I'm sorry, he was still on the losing team, or he did not outright win the match. So,
well, I mean, technically he is undefeated at that point. He himself, personally, was not defeated.
See, I never watched WCW back in the day. Maybe you can answer this question for me, maybe you can't. When they did the whole Goldberg thing, did Goldberg lose tag matches?
I think there was a couple of instances of that, yes. It's because technically, by the very definition, he himself has not been defeated. He may not have won every match. He didn't
TNA
say
has
he's
not,
on a winning streak. He is
TNA
undefeated.
No. Crimson, I think, said he was on a winning streak.
Okay, well, that's just
stupid. No, this is one of the things that TNA has botched and botched so hard on.
Well, again, par for the course, but, you know, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here.
But yeah,
technically, he was undefeated, of course, until he wrestled his match at Slammiversary against the returning James Storm. And
thank you.
I don't follow TNA very quickly, you know, very much, obviously. But you know, from what I did know, James Storm was kind of just out of it for a while. He wasn't really doing much.
Yeah, it was basically the storyline was basically James Storm lost his smile.
Right.
Anyway. He lost in the world title match a few months ago, took some time off to regroup himself. I think really he was just covering for an injury or something, but that was basically what they went with. But yes, Storm is back, and thankfully, mercifully, Crimson's streak is over.
Yeah, but, I mean, I gotta say that they did it, they ended his streak so unceremoniously. Like, I at least would have liked build up. A little bit better build-up to it, you know, or at least a little bit better match. It was pretty one-sided, you know. It
was almost a squash.
Yeah, it honestly, it made me feel sorry for Crimson. It really did.
He
was humiliated, and, you know, it's kind of bullshitty.
Crimson is horribly green.
I mean, yeah, he is horribly green, but still.
Yeah.
That was just kind of dick by TNA. That's all I gotta say. Dick move, TNA. Dick move.
But next, we have Dixie Carter coming to the ring.
Yeah, with the crowd giving a thank you, Dixie chant. Which I'm like, for what?
Alright, so they have the entire roster standing on the stage. Dixie makes the big announcement. The first inductee into the TNA Hall of Fame.
Big shocker, it's Sting! Oh my god, I didn't see it coming! Yes, I did!
But yeah, that's pretty much it. I believe they'll be having the actual induction ceremony at Bound for Glory, and likely they'll announce a few more people to go into this TNA Hall of Fame. Alright, so next up we get the Knockouts tag title, or the Knockouts title match between
Miss Tessmacher. And I will say this, as bad as the WWE Divas division is, from what I understand, the TNA Knockouts division is actually somewhat good.
Yeah. And Joe, you do know who Miss Tessmacher is, right?
Yes, Brooke Adams.
Yes, the once former member of Kelly Kelly's Extreme Exposé.
Little bit of a story there, actually. I used to work at a Blockbuster, and there was a I'm trying to remember who came in. It was obviously it was Brooke, Miss Tessmacher, came in, along with former WWE developmental talent Daniel Pewter. And see, I actually had recognized him first. I recognized the name. I was like, Daniel Pewter. I'm like, are you a WWE developmental wrestler? And he was like, yes, I am. And he I was just like, right. Oh, wow. You know, he was surprised I knew who he was. She's like, yeah, and I'm Brooke Adams from Extreme Exposé. And I was just like, oh, yeah, cool. Anywho, so,
that's
you know,
right,
and I was like, and I was just like,
there.
I really just wanted to talk about developmental stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of thing, but, you know, that's what's actually pretty cool about living in Tampa with FCW being around is, you know, you get a chance, these things just kind of happen.
But yeah, this was actually a pretty good match, which the Knockouts division has been the sort of the premier area for women's wrestling in the U.S. If this match had been on a WWE pay-per-view, it would have got, 45 seconds if it even got on the pay-per-view? But this was actually a good back-and-forth match, and the end came, and we do have a new Knockouts champion in Miss Tessmacher.
Who, from what I understand, now that Brooke Hogan has been hired, she is no longer going to be Brooke Tessmacher. She may just go under the name Tess.
Yes. She originally came in as Miss Tessmacher, Eric Bischoff's assistant, and then became Brooke Tessmacher when she started wrestling on her own. And they're like, oh, we can't have two Brooks, especially not with Brooke Hogan. So, yeah, they're...
Let me tell you something, brother. I'm Brooke Hogan.
All right, next up is...
I look like my father in drag.
Yeah, especially if you've seen that one Photoshop picture.
Oh, God, I love that picture.
Yeah, the picture of her with the beard Photoshopped onto her face. It's hilarious. Next up, we have the Anything Goes match. Joseph Park versus Bully Ray.
Now, this was a weird... I don't
match.
Know. I didn't care for this match.
I'm going to disagree here. I loved this match, but let me tell you why I loved it. It was
okay.
Just the little
Sell
things.
Sell me on this match. Sell me on this match. I wanted to like this match.
See, I liked the little things that Joseph Park did during this match. He actually just, the way he acted really made me believe he was just this random guy who's never been in a fight. I know it's hard to describe, but it was a lot of little things, like the way he reacted, the way he sold.
Oh, no, I liked those things. Like I said, I really wanted to like those matches because of those things. Honestly,
right.
I really think Bully Ray should have gone over in the match, though.
This is sort of the outcome I was actually expecting. They did play a lot into the potential that Joseph Park and Abyss are like a split personality. At the end of the match, Joseph Park rolls under the ring, and then from the other side of the ring comes
someone who's obviously not Joseph Park, dressed like Abyss.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't like the ending to that match. I think they should have held that off for a different match. Because I think they should have done is they should have had Bully Ray win the match and that not be enough for him. Continue to pick on Joseph Park.
I don't think this is over. I think that there's probably still more left with Joseph Park. But like I said last week on the show, I'm really thinking what they're going to go with is like a split personality thing. Like I said, the ending kind of held a lot of credence to it. But
all I got to say is Bully Ray is the best personality in TNA right now. What the hell is wrong with you, Dixie Carter? Make this man your champion. Forget Bobby Roode. Throw him to the side. Bully Ray all the way. That's what Joe Convoy says.
I used to hate this man for years. I don't know why. I never liked him for some reason.
Bubba Ray Dudley?
Yeah. You know, as long as I've been watching wrestling, I've never liked him. But just since they broke up Team D, 3D for the final time, I don't know, just his whole bully gimmick has just been amazing.
Yeah, like I said, he is worth watching on TNA.
Yes, and I would actually be fine with him getting a world title run.
He deserves it. I never thought I would just say ever that Bubba Ray Dudley deserves a world title shot, but Bully Ray deserves a world title shot.
Yes.
He deserves a world title run.
Really does. All right, so we get another segment.
And then, oh, people will notice that if you, you know, if you follow the Facebook page, that I posted the thing that said Christian was going, that may be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. All I knew is that he was going to be at the Slammiversary pay-per-view. And I said, I didn't know who I would feel sorry more for, Christian or TNA. After having watched it, I now can answer that question. I feel so sorry for TNA. Because they are so... I'm sorry, this was really stupid of TNA. But they had Christian come out, and they did Bupkis with him. They didn't do a damn thing. They wasted him. This was unprecedented. You had a contracted WWE superstar, the Intercontinental Champion, no less, on your pay-per-view. And you just have him come out, hey, yeah, I used to be here, hi.
Yeah, he talked for, I think, less than a minute.
You didn't have him interact with anybody. You didn't do anything. It was such a wasted opportunity, wasted potential. And honestly,
he came in and introduced the number one moment in TNA history, and it was Sting coming to the company.
I'm sorry, TNA, but...
And then when the video ends, he's not even there anymore. They don't even show him. They just go into the hype video for the next match.
No mention that he's a current WWE superstar. No mention that he's the Intercontinental Champion. He doesn't come out with the Intercontinental title. I mean...
And this is what TNA does.
Wasted potential. That is TNA in
a show. They got Christian. They got him, and the WWE allowed him to come out and do this little segment, you know, because of the whole exchange of things they got for being able to put Ric Flair in the Hall of Fame again.
And from what I understand, Christian did not want to do it. He did not want to be there. You could tell he didn't want to be there.
Oh, gosh, it was...
He didn't care about TNA. I mean, TNA, they gave him the world title twice, and WWE still has used him better than TNA did. Like I said, I mean, sometimes I pick on TNA because it's fun. But other times like this...
No, this is one of those they deserve at times. Even I will say it.
I'm sorry, TNA, but...
You fail on this one.
You fail at life.
All right. But we do go from a fail to a win in the form of the TNA World... the Tag Team Title Match. The World Tag Team Championship Match. Kurt Angle and AJ Styles challenging Kazarian and Daniels, who went into the match as champions. This match was full of tag team win. Very, very good suplex spots out of Kurt Angle. One of the spots was near the end of the match. Daniels went for the BME, the best moonsault ever. He lands on his feet, and Kurt Angle immediately grabs him and into a release overhead suplex. It was definitely a very good spot. I know they did some other spots that were really good in the match, and I was on board with this match the whole way through. But eventually, Angle gets the submission win on Kazarian. Kazarian has to tap out to the ankle lock, and we have the new tag team champions, AJ Styles and Kurt Angle.
I mean, yeah, it was a good match, but I don't know. I really wasn't all that invested in it.
And yeah, it was fine. Like I said, there were definitely a couple of spots in particular that really stood out.
Honestly, the X Division title match, the triple threat match, and Bully Ray versus Joseph Park were really the only things I personally thought were anything special of the night.
And finally, we have the TNA World Heavyweight Championship match. The Icon Sting taking on the It Factor, Bobby Roode. This was a match. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I just wasn't interested in it. I think I'm tired of Sting.
Yeah.
Ever half cared about Sting in his time in TNA?
I mean, Sting's a great guy. I mean, I love his early 90s, 80s matches with Ric Flair and, all those, early WCW, NWA, championship, Georgia Championship Wrestling stuff. I mean, those were great, but, even his later WCW stuff was good, but yeah, I just could care less about him in TNA. Honestly, the only thing that would make me care about Sting again is if he made his way to WWE. And, call me a WWE fanboy if you want, but... I love ROH.
And actually, he came very close to doing it. I don't remember if it was this year or last year.
It was last year after the Jeff Hardy incident. You'd about had it with TNA.
No, because Sting's contract, I think the way it plays out, I think his contract usually runs out somewhere near the end of the year, and I think it was not this past year, but the year before. There was actually a very strong possibility that Sting was actually going to let his contract expire and actually sign with WWE so he could face The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we'll probably never get that match.
Probably not, because I don't think Undertaker's got a lot of matches left in him. Yeah, they'd have to do it really soon. But the thing with Sting is, he only signs a one-year contract. He doesn't sign long terms with TNA every year. You know, because every year it's like, oh, you know, maybe I'll retire, maybe I won't.
And, you know, maybe TNA will be there next year, maybe they won't.
You know, so he's like, okay, I'll sign a one-year deal, and then next year I'll just reevaluate. But, yeah, Bobby Roode actually wins the match and retains his title. All right, so we'll move on next to Joe.
Not much really else I can think of. FCW, you know, I mean, FCW from last week was pretty good. As we know, or as you may or may not know, the final FCW tapings have taken place. So it's going to be turned into NXT pretty soon. I'm going to be sad to see it go, especially since it's moving to Orlando and I won't be able to go see shows anymore, at least as often.
There was one crime against humanity on SmackDown last week.
What was that?
The continual burial of Drew McIntyre. Sin Cara, Sin Trampoline, taking on Drew McIntyre. This was terrible. Remember when he was the chosen one? When he got drafted to Raw a couple of years ago? Yeah, he really has not been doing anything good since.
And now he's back on SmackDown for no discernible reason.
Wow, so many squashes on SmackDown last week. Brodus Clay buried Derek Bateman in like a minute. Like, headbutt him like he was an angry buffalo.
Yeah, SmackDown was actually pretty boring. I really don't remember much from it. I remember we did get to see the Swiss sensation that defies all nations. Wow, I can't believe I just ripped off Chikara from that one, but oh well, I like it. Antonio Cesaro!
Yeah, he took on one of the Usos.
Ah, poor Usos.
Yeah, I'm going
some faces that I actually like.
Yeah.
But,
there was nothing good on this show. Or no, I'm sorry.
What was good?
There actually was a Ziggler versus Christian match. I'm sorry. That was good.
Though I would like to say I did actually manage to watch ROH this week, and it only one match to speak of, although it was a very good one between Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards. That was a fantastic match, honestly. And that's just the one complaint I think I have with ROH's TV show is it's not live. It's mainly just talking, and you get like one, maybe two matches. It really would benefit from a second hour.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of Ring of Honor, so
it's on your local Sinclair station. A little bit of a cheap plug there, ROH. Well, we're probably running a little bit long at this point, so I think that's pretty much all that we got time for this week. Any last words?
A lot of meh this week. I think meh is probably one of the most appropriate words to describe about the last week's worth of wrestling. But really, outside of Slammiversary, a blah week in the world of professional wrestling. And unfortunately, that kind of happens this time of year when summer just kind of, for whatever reason, it's a lull. And
until about SummerSlam.
Yeah. I mean, usually there's the big angles that take place during the summer. You know, last year you had the Summer of Punk. I know there's a really big angle that happened last year. They really haven't gotten into any kind of a big angle this year yet. I know the big rumor was at least to go into SummerSlam and do the Brock Lesnar Triple H thing. As far as I know, that's still on, but who wants to see Brock Lesnar and Triple H?
Yeah, I could care less. But
well, that's sad. I almost said Scott Steiner. But speaking of Scott Steiner, he has been tweeting this week. Joe, you need to start your own Twitter just so you can follow Scott Steiner.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, Scott Steiner's tweets are the greatest thing ever.
Oh, no, I'm well aware of Scott Steiner and his tweets. I don't know if I could be bothered.
he went on a really good rant this week, and it was just hilarious.
But I think I will close out this episode by just letting everyone know what time it is. The time? It's Vader time!
It's time! It's time!